the first thing I'll say is I challenge that there might be a founder here in the audience that's going to do something big. It's like the birthday paradox, right? Like, there's absolutely the chance that someone in this room here today will be the CEO, CTO, founder of like one of the world's most changing companies in the next 10 years. We live in a really special place where people get to work on ideas where failure is tolerated. If you travel overseas to other places, there's a reason why Silicon Valley is so different, and it's because failure is tolerated. I realized that I loved doing lots of different stuff. It's not that I loved technology, it was that I loved doing lots of different stuff. So I went to boarding school, and I was the guy hanging an antenna outside of my dorm room window to do a pirate radio station. I was designing flyers for dances, I was DJing. Like, I just love doing a lot of different things. And when I read required reading in school, our junior year was this book called The New Thing, kind of the Michael Netscape Lewis, saga, right? I read that and I said to myself, like, this feels like an area of the world I can come to and be myself and do lots of different things and see what sticks. A little schizophrenic in how I treat different ideas and go from thing to thing. But that's kind of the ethos of an entrepreneur, to teach myself Ruby on Rails. And I was like, this is gonna be a really awesome skill. So I learned that, learned about databases, and learned enough to be dangerous. And this is like one of the lessons in entrepreneurship, is that like you don't have to be the best, but you have to be dangerous. You have to learn just enough to be dangerous to build an idea, concept it, and show it to the world. And then it turns out there are lots of other people, including all 170 employees that work at Instagram, who are much better at doing all that stuff than I am. But you need to find people who can, you know, be drawn to the idea that you build, and then they end up taking it and making it even better. I think everyone's experience is different. Everyone in this room has to take the idea that there is a perfect next move and throw it out the window. There's no perfect next move. I had the privilege of going to a Marine base once and talking to Marines about how they plan their next move. There's this phrase called bias towards action. The idea that you can spend all of your time thinking about what the perfect next move is, trying to plan, am I gonna work at Google? Am I gonna work at Microsoft? Like, which one? McKinsey or Bain? Like, the next perfect move, and spending a tremendous amount of time trying to figure that out. The Marines say you can spend all the time you want, but by the time you figured it out, you're dead. So like, sometimes you need to make a trade-off of what is the action I can take with the appropriate amount of information and risk to move. Because moving and progress is what gets us to the next step. By moving and learning, it all adds up. That summation of your experience over the last 10 years is what makes you into the thing tomorrow that will be successful. All the other jobs that I had offered, there were like two or three, a couple at a startup, one at Microsoft, one at Google. I took the lowest salary of anyone, any of the offers that I had, because I wanted to work in a specific job at Google. I didn't care what job it was, actually. I just cared that it was at Google and I would surround myself by amazing people. And that was the first lesson that I learned, is like, go to where the people are. Short-term, long-term trade-offs, just go to where the people are. Being at Google and going to corp dev was an interesting move, because I was like, I want to be near startups again. I learned a lot about startups in school, but I want to be back in the startup world. And then 2008 happened. And I'm not sure how many people remember 2008 in this room. The economy kind of went to crap. I remember looking at my boss and being like, okay, so like, can we buy this company? He's like, nope. Can we buy this company? Nope. One of them, and I won't even name the name, but it was a really interesting company, ended up doing really well. I wish we had purchased it. But the thing is, he was like, we're actually not going to do many deals now. You should probably just go golfing. And for like a 20-something year old thinking to themselves, like, I want to make a difference in the world, and your boss is telling you to go golfing, like, maybe I should just leave. So I did. And I actually, there's a chapter in between Google and Bourbon that not many people know about, but I ended up joining a startup of some ex-Google folks called NextStop. Hugely transformational for me, because it's where I cut my teeth learning to program, learning to build a site, and everything I learned in that year at NextStop before starting Bourbon was actually like, it made me ready to go do Bourbon. So again, every move you think needs to be perfect, it turns out just like, surround yourself by great people where you can learn the most and great things will happen. But I didn't go golfing, and that's rule number two.
And I never know I would be able to survive for 20 years. So I call myself like a blind man riding on the back of a blind tiger. And for 20 years, survived to today, still surviving. But we want to make this company last 102 years. So we finished only 16 years. There are 86 years to go.
You started in 1999.
Yeah, because in China, everybody wanted to make company for last 100 years. This become a slogan. Nobody take it seriously. So if you want to give, you know, the KPI to your people, it should be very specific. Then people know it's serious. 102 years that we were born in 1999, Alibaba. So last century we had 1 year, and this century we want to have 100 years. Next century, 1 year. 102 cross-reach centuries. So very specific. So in our company, we never talk you're successful or not, because we think there are 86 years, next 86 years. There are many chances that fail. So that's why we say, don't talk about you're successful. 86 years later, we talk about it. And this is something we know how to make this thing happen. So I think generally, I'm a positive, but next to 2 or 3 years, maybe I have problems. People say, well, anti-corruption, this. But think about it. Anti-corruption and rule by law is laying a great foundation for the market economy. You don't want to go do business by bribery. You don't want to have an unfair environment. The market economy is by rule by law, and market economy is about clear, transparent, and fair. And I think this year, that year, bad. But this is why we need entrepreneurship. This is why we need that the business to drive the economy. So I'm a positive, and when people worry, I'm happy. When people too happy, I start to worry. Because, you know, and don't worry about the things the president is worried about. Worry about the things that nobody worry about. And this is the opportunity. So I'm positive, because I'm positive, but I'm not stupid. I know that we have problems, but you have to solve the problems little by little. And that's it.
Play one game a little bit with me for just a minute. I'd like for the moment to have you pretend I've made you a great offer. And I've told you that you could pick any one of your classmates, and you now know each other probably pretty well after being here for a while. You could pick, you'd have 24 hours to think it over, and you can pick any one of your classmates, and you get 10% of their earnings for the rest of their lives. I ask you, what goes through your mind in determining which one of those you would pick? You can't pick the one with the richest father. That doesn't count. I mean, you've got to do this on merit. But you probably wouldn't pick the person that gets the highest grades in the class. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting the highest grades in the class. But that isn't going to be the quality that sets apart a big winner from the rest of the pack. Think about who you would pick and why. And I think you'll find when you get through, you'll pick some individual. You've all got the ability. You wouldn't be here otherwise. And you've all got the energy. I mean, you've got, you know, the initiative is here. The intelligence is here. But some of you are going to be bigger winners than others. And it gets down to a bunch of qualities that, interestingly enough, are self-made. I mean, it's not how tall you are, it's not whether you can kick a football 60 yards, it's not whether you can run the 100-yard dash in 10 seconds, whether you're the best-looking person in the room. It's a whole bunch of qualities that really come out of Ben Franklin or the Boy Scout code or whatever it may be. I mean, it's integrity, it's honesty, it's generosity, it's being willing to do more than your share, it's just all those qualities that are self-selected. And then if you look on the other side of the ledger, because there's always a catch to these, you know, free gifts and genie jokes, so you also have to, and this is the fun part, you also have to sell short one of your classmates and pay 10% of what they do. So who do you think is going to do the worst in the class? This is way more fun. And think about it again. And again, it isn't the person with the lowest grades or anything of the sort. It's the person who just doesn't shape up in the character department. I mean, we look for three things when we hire people. We look for intelligence, we look for initiative or energy, and we look for integrity. And if they don't have the latter, the first two will kill you. Because if you're going to get somebody without integrity, you want them lazy and dumb. I mean, you don't want them smart and energetic. So it's that third quality, but everything about that quality is your choice. You know, you can't change the way you are wired much, but you can change a lot of what you do with that wiring. When you write down the qualities of that person that you'd like to buy 10% of, look at that list and ask yourself, is there anything on that list I couldn't do? And the answer is, there won't be. And when you look at the person you sell short, and you look at those qualities that you don't like, if you see any of those in yourself, you know, egotism, whatever it may be, selfishness, you can get rid of that. I mean, that is not ordained. And if you follow that, and Ben Franklin did this, and my old boss Ben Graham did this at early ages in their young teens. Ben Graham looked around and he said, who do I admire? You know, and he wanted to be admired himself, and he said, you know, why do I admire these other people? And he said, if I admire them for these reasons, maybe other people will admire me if I behave in a similar manner. And he decided what kind of a person he wanted to be. And if you follow that, at the end, you'll be the person you want to buy 10% of. I mean, that's the goal in the end. And it's something that's achievable by everybody in this room.
Learning to tell a story is critically important because that's how the money works. The money flows as a function of the stories. And one of the critical things I would encourage you to learn that's way more important in my world than anything else is how to ask a question. Because you want to have the person comfortably telling you what he thinks is important so that you get it. For a long time, we don't understand the product or the market while we're listening. So we have learned to string questions in a way that provides the entrepreneur with a way to explain what he wants to do, how long it's going to take, who the competition is, how much money he needs, without feeling threatening. For many of the investments we've made, we didn't understand the answers, but we constantly work on developing the questions.